Sam Gum was once just a dream. He says he loves you. He says it with meat. He comes to buy a meat wreath, and he makes a cider out of beef. He's thinking about his meat cape. He says he's waiting for that garbage ape. The meat fairy's coming along. So Heathcliff, won't you play your meat song? Whoa.
Hello, welcome to Meatcast. My name's Nick, and with me as always is Kyle. Kyle, how's it going?
Hi, Nick. It's going well. I'm feeling good. I made it through April Fool's Day. Unfooled. You're looking at a smart person. No one got one over on me.
I want to talk April Fools. We should bring in our guests so we can talk April Fools.
Absolutely. I'm sure they have a lot of thoughts on April Fools.
They're the author of the comic strip Mr. Boop, as well as I think it's a comic book, Crime Hot.
That's right. You can call it a comic book. It's a comic. It's a book. It's not a panel strip, but that's what you're getting at.
Mini form.
So it's no Heathcliff.
It's Alec Robbins. Thank you for joining us, Alec.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So yeah, Kyle, you brought up April Fool's Day. That used to be a big deal on the internet. It's not as much anymore, is it?
It's significantly different than I remember it being in the sort of peak, like early to mid 2000s days of like Google changing their homepage, which is not a thing people visit anymore, you know, but they would change it to something weird, or, you know, everybody.
Like Google or Bugle, different letter.
Bugles. I think Bugles changed.
Bugles. Bugles became Google. Yes. Google became Bugles.
Sort of a wife swap, a Google wife swap.
That's what they called it, too. They said, we're doing a wife swap. They announced it ahead of time. They said, on April Fool's, we will be doing a wife swap. They said that on January 1st.
They didn't want to scare anybody when it
happened. Nobody panic.
And they didn't explain what wife swap meant. They said, we will be doing a wife swap with Bugles. And they made us wait 4 months. We're going, what the hell could this
what
mean?
What could that possibly mean? And then they and did just, it, and we were
whole,
like, oh,
the whole
okay,
internet
yeah.
melted down on April 1st, 2006, let's say this happened.
So yeah. Did my 7-Eleven when I was eating Googles. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, some guy at CVS checking out, and, oh, I'll get some Bugles. Wait a minute.
you fool. You rube. You've been had.
Alec, you're sort of a content creator on the web. Have you ever...
I will never call myself a content creator, but thank you so much.
Truly a despicable label, Nick.
Have you ever perpetrated an April Fool's Day prank?
I'm not a pranker. I don't have a lot of interest in pulling off a prank. Yeah. I feel like anytime I've done it, and I have no specific examples, I feel like I've just made people really annoyed or upset them. Like the kind of joke where you're like standing behind a corner waiting to scare someone. That was like my style as a kid. No one's happy after that happens. Someone like swings at you, falls or whatever, and you're just upset.
Yeah, no so one is ever like, oh, you got me. It's so good. It's always like, what? Why would
yeah,
you
what
do
the, why
that?
Did, why did you do it to me? Come on. Like, oh, you scared me. What the fuck? That's it. That's what you get.
So you're sort of a reverse The Offspring.
I don't know what that means because I've never listened to music in my life.
Well, they have a song called Original Prankster. That was something kind of a hit.
No, it was a very late period Offspring song that probably
so even if
very
I
few
knew the
remember.
Offspring, I wouldn't know what this
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
okay.
you could know the hits and you would make it pretty far down the list before you got to Original Prankster.
You knew it, Kyle, though. You knew it.
I did not know what you were talking about until you said the words Original Prankster. And then I remembered
it. But then,
yes. Once you said it, I was like, oh, right, yeah, that's right. It wasn't on the Crazy Taxi soundtrack, so most people don't know it, you know.
That is honestly most songs, someone's like, you know this song, and I'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Then they play it and I'll be like, oh, it's from Tony Hawk. Yeah. Like, oh, it's from Crazy Taxi, sure.
Well, Alec, you're a cartoonist yourself. What have you do you have any history with Heathcliff? Do you read the comic strip? Has it come across your desk ever?
It has come across my desk. It's
come through the wire.
It happened on the old telegram. I don't know how a telegram machine works, but I assume there's tapping.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I am not super well-versed in Heathcliff. I've known about it my whole life. I was a lifelong comic strip reader. I would read the newspaper comics every morning as a kid. So I knew about it. I'm sure I read a bunch of them. It never made a blip on my interest radar, so to speak. It was just one of the ones I went through.
Mm-hmm. Even in the modern day.
In the modern day, I
feel like it gets passed around on Twitter a lot because it's weird.
That is, I feel like both Nancy and Heathcliff have had like a huge Twitter push. Yeah. There's some big Nancy and big Heathcliff operators pushing this in. But both of them, so like Nancy, I've loved since the second I saw it. But Heathcliff is one that Twitter has converted me to. I've been like, okay, it's. At first, it was baffling to me because I'm like, why. Why do people care? These aren't jokes in the way that I understand a joke to be. I respect that they're doing something I don't understand, but, you know, osmosis, I've been permeated. I get it now. I feel like I understand.
That seems to be the pretty standard journey for most people, I think.
I figured you're
out of line for that.
Okay, well, we're going to take a look at this week's Heathcliff comic strips. And an interesting thing about this show is we like to use the week's Heathcliff comic strips to get to know our guests. So,
isn't that interesting?
It's exactly what I expected, and it is interesting, yes.
So maybe we'll see a little bit of that as the show progresses.
But hey, maybe. We're not promising anything. We might not. We don't know for sure.
We like to. We like.
Am I going to do like a which Heathcliff character am I quiz? One of those. Does that exist?
Really good idea.
That's a great idea for a segment.
Do a lot of prep for this show because we don't make any money from it. But that would be.
Oh, you should consider making money from it.
We thought about it, but we said, you know what? No, we don't.
No, I don't think you should try. I just think that money should be given.
I mean, I agree 100%.
It is our goal to become paid content creators. It's sort of why we started this whole thing.
Anyway, so we are currently content creators. It's just the paid part.
Right.
If we could just get
that one extra label.
I could create content all day. It's getting paid. That's the problem.
Oh, that's how you get caught up.
Well, let's get into this week in Heathcliff.
I'm so excited. I did not look ahead of time.
Wonderful. Great.
This week on Heathcliff.
So here we have March 30th. I believe that's Saturday, March 30th. So Heathcliff is dressed like a wizard. And I'm going to, Alec, I'll go and explain, describe these comic strips for a
little bit. I'm going to go ahead and confirm for you, by the way, that yes, the 30th was a Saturday.
Oh, thank
you. Fantastic.
Just want to make sure we got that on the record.
Yes, good.
So Heathcliff is dressed as a wizard. He's got a little wand, and he's sort of magicking a cup of tea above the table in the kitchen where Grandma Nutmeg and her friend are sitting. I think he's stealing Grandma Nutmeg's friend's glass of tea or cup of tea. And Grandma Nutmeg is saying, he likes tea, too.
See, this is what I mean. This is what I'm talking about, okay? This is not a joke. It is an image and some text, and I think I understand what the funny part of it is, but I cannot say for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of, it strikes you in a, and it's a great one to start out with here, given the context that you set up, because it is so, like, he likes tea too is really nothing. It really is giving you nothing.
And it's also something my mom said to me after I saw an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Where she said that about me.
She said, he likes tea too.
Yeah. I can't remember which Schwarzenegger movie it was.
So that's like the third possible meaning of this comic.
Yeah, it could be.
I have two. I have two. Right off the bat, I have two reads. One is she's saying he likes tea too because he likes being a wizard first and he likes tea as well. The other read is that they like tea, Grandma Nutmeg and her friend. They're talking about how much they love tea. And then Heathcliff steals the tea. And she's saying he likes tea just like we do.
What a dreadful conversation they were having in that imaginary scenario.
I like tea. I like tea too. So does Heathcliff. And the fact that he's a wizard then is entirely ancillary to the joke.
Yeah, I think that's the more likely you know, the image being disconnected from, I mean, not entirely because he's levitating the cup of tea, but the image being disconnected from the caption is a fairly common occurrence here.
So when the two part, my first thought was they're referencing that Heathcliff, you know, he likes meat and ham and stuff. And he likes tea too.
Okay, a 4-3. See, yeah, these are dense comics. They reward multiple viewings and close consideration.
That is some extra lore that if you're not a Heathcliff head, you wouldn't know to give it that read. But we know from the rich history that Heathcliff loves ham, fish skeletons, trash, etc.
I think you should expect that from a Heathcliff reader, like the author. It can understand that his audience probably knows a fair bit about Heathcliff lore. Mm-hmm. Expected from most cartoons, comic strips. You're not expected to not know who all the Foxtrot family members are. You get that they're a family. I think it's okay to jump in with preconceived information.
I'm just imagining opening. Oh, I'm sorry. You thought you finished your thought.
Oh no, my thought is just: is he often a wizard? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Often I don't know if I would say often, but he is regularly a wizard.
Regularly is,
yeah. Once a month or so, okay. He's a wizard. Yeah,
periodically he's a wizard.
Go ahead.
Cal, you go ahead. I feel like you were.
Oh, I was just going to say, when you said you're not expected to know who the Foxtrot family is, I'm just imagining somebody like reading Dilbert or something with no context being like, what is happening?
Where are they? It looks like an office. Is it an office?
Wait, he wearing? You're telling me the dog can talk? Oh, what?
It's like a lot of writing comics angry kind letters. Of built in that you'll just sort of learn everything about them over the course of reading them every day. There's never, there was that sitcom guy who did all the shows like Gilligan's Island and Brady Bunch where he's like, he demanded. Thank you. Yeah, he was like, every sitcom needs to have all the information you need in the theme song, and you can miss every episode and watch one and get everything. Heathcliff is the opposite approach.
Which you would think a daily comic strip like this would have that approach where you should be able to just read the one and get it. Mm-hmm. But Alec, you mentioned that you were a big comics reader. We had a guest last week, Armando Torres, who was trying to remember the name of a comic strip where it was a family that was mean to each other, but they had tall heads.
Okay.
Does this ring any bells to you?
I can't believe you brought this up again.
Right off the bat. Did you find the answer? Should I start?
No.
We went to Google and typed in we just went to every Wikipedia page for every comic. I even saw one that was from the 1890s.
Was just like, is it this one? Lockhorns, but it was stretched really tall.
Lockhorns was one of my guesses, but he said no. It's a family, not just a husband and wife.
Zits?
And
not a broken kind of family.
Zits was one. I think he said it was
Zits
similar.
Was that was the closest we got. Was Zits?
He did say he said it was like Doonesbury, but more cartoony.
You know how many comic strips there have been? We'll never know. We'll never know.
There's no way to know. He also could have purely invented it. It could have been a dream.
Yeah, that's the thing, is there's so many half-remembered pop culture things that people never, they're piecing together five different things, then they end up as some Mandela effect post about how whoever was in Shazam, I don't know. It's all, it's nonsense. We don't know anything. We know nothing.
We know nothing.
Heathcliff tells us how little we know.
Our brains are constantly betraying us. Even the very reality in front of us, we cannot trust, so.
Now, Alec, I do have a two-part question for you.
Okay, I'm in. I love it.
Do you drink tea? And part two, how do you take your tea?
I have had tea from time to time.
Heathcliff being a wizard.
Yes, I regularly have tea. I do not often have tea. I actually don't even regularly have tea. I have tea when I'm sick. That's really when I drink it, when I have a sore throat or something.
You just did the thing that I do when people ask me if I drink tea, which is like, oh yeah, I have it occasionally, which really means I never have it, but I want to sound like somebody who does drink tea.
Well, comparison, yeah, first of all, loving tea is so cool. Being a tea guy,
I love
that's
it.
Great.
Yeah.
But I don't drink coffee. I would just say I don't drink coffee.
Hey, same.
Samesies. But tea, I do drink tea. I just don't drink tea often. Is that interesting? Do we like
this? Well, we do like to use the comic to get to know our guests, like we said, and we are doing that. So
we're liking this a lot.
We are liking this a lot.
Okay, great. And what is it, a two-part question?
Oh, yeah.
The second part was, how do you take your tea?
How do you take your tea?
Sorry, I don't know. I like the minty kind, hot minty tea. I have no sense of smell. So that's a huge factor here. That's an Alec trivia fact.
Wait, what? You have no sense of smell?
I can't smell a damn thing.
Is this a COVID thing or was
it pre-COVID? It's not a COVID thing. It was since birth.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, COVID, one positive of COVID is that people are actually putting research into this now to see if it can be fixed. Because a lot more people suddenly suffer from this.
Yeah.
Is there a word for that?
Anosmia.
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to say it if it wasn't right.
Thank you. Thank you for exercising caution there.
Inshallah, you will smell in our lifetime. I mean, I hope it happens.
I don't
but...
even want to, you know? I don't.
You're not missing it.
It doesn't affect my life in any meaningful way, except in stuff like this, where it affects my eating habits and drinking habits sometimes, because it greatly weakens my taste. And I think most of the tea experience is supposed to be the smell. So I'm not getting that at all. I'm just getting some hot liquid that might be like a little sweeter than usual.
Well, no wonder you're not a coffee drinker too, because
the only thing
that I even remotely can find enjoyable about coffee is the smell. So I can't imagine if that was taken away from me, you know.
Yeah.
This is great. We are liking this a lot. We're getting to know our guests. Alec,
just like we planned it.
Do you worry about your own smell? Like, if you can't smell yourself, like, are you worried you're, stinking up a joint?
Oh, how insightful of you. I absolutely worry about how I smell.
Tell us about your deepest anxieties.
This isn't my deepest one. I have so many worse anxieties, but this is one of them, and I do think about it every day. I don't know. I had, hygiene fears, I would say. I was, I couldn't, as a teen or whatever, you know, when you hit puberty and everything's going haywire.
Oh, yeah.
I was, I have no idea if I would. I remember one time I tried cologne, basically just because it was a thing that existed and I hadn't tried it yet. I'm like, let's just see what this does. And I was probably, 14, maybe a little older. I put so much on because I had no fucking idea how much, and I couldn't smell to check how much I was putting on. So I think I alarmed everybody.
Did someone let you know? Did you have a friend?
Not just one person. A lot of people let me know. So now I will never touch cologne again. I just wouldn't know where to stop.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Just dab a little bit. I don't know. Who does cologne anyway?
I don't think
I wouldn't know because I can't smell it. So I don't know who does cologne.
Every now and then you'll meet a guy who does cologne. And you're like, maybe I should start doing cologne.
That's sort of where I am at. But I know. I see that guy. You know, once every 6 months, I see cologne guy out and about. You know.
Is it weird that we're saying do cologne? it's a drug? I don't know.
I don't think so. It's really normal to say it that way.
I think it's about right. These guys that do cologne, they always got a woman on either under either arm, you know?
They're always walking into a casino.
Well, if you put the cologne on, you need someone to enjoy it.
No, they like for women you.
It's for whoever's in your entourage, be they women or not.
Floating men and women start floating towards them like a cartoon,
like they're pies on a windowsill.
Like I'm sure Heathcliff has done in at least one comic.
Almost certainly,
undoubtedly.
Yeah,
undoubtedly. All right, well, let's move on to the.
I am not done with this.
Great. Yeah, let it rip.
I hope this is okay. I just want to try my new segment, which I've just thought of.
I hope you have a song.
We love segments.
I'm not going to sing you a song. I have one. It's beautiful.
Nick will invent one for you.
Okay, great. Here, the name of the segment is How Would Garfield Do This Strip? And I can see this one in particular, which is like John is drinking tea.
Mm-hmm.
And Garfield walks up. He takes the tea out of John's hand.
We're already
he walks away.
In.
No. Just hold on.
Okay.
I can fix this. It's one panel, John drinking tea. Second panel, Garfield in frame grabbing the tea out of John's hand.
You kind of see John's hand still in place, but the tea cup is
gone.
Maybe a little yoink sound effect, whatever we think is appropriate. Third panel, Garfield walking off frame, tail just sticking out of frame. John's sitting there without tea, and he's saying, He likes T2.
That's
because
great.
We all know he loves lasagna, so it's implied.
That's true, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We would all know that immediately. We would read that. We know he's talking about lasagna as the alternative.
Right. It wouldn't cross our mind that there's anything else it could mean. So that's like a much clearer comic to me.
Well, what kind of outfit would Garfield be wearing? Would he be like a kind genie? Of
great outfit? Question, Nick. Yeah, would he be dressed like a wizard? Would he be dressed genie, like a Viking? You know, what?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I'm just going to say, to keep this in line with the standard Garfield strip, Garfield will be fully nude as usual. No outfit so it's, whatsoever.
So his little cat dick hanging out.
I don't think he has one because we've never seen it.
That's, you know, I don't think I've ever seen any cat stick.
That's a great
That's a
point.
Really good point, yeah. I think about
I've
it sometimes.
I've seen other animal sticks. Not
yeah.
Not because I'm trying to, it's just it happens. You see them sometimes.
I used to have a cat, a male cat. I never saw his dick.
Yeah, I got a cat, a male cat, long-haired cat, and he'll let me hold him sometimes, you know, like a baby, like on his back. And, you know, he's laying there with his legs all sprawled out, and I'm just sitting there going, I know that dick's in there somewhere.
Yeah, my cats let me do that too, and I can. They're all fixed, spayed and neutered and all that. Mm-hmm. And got little Henry. You know, he's on his back. I'm looking at him. I think his balls sometimes, maybe.
Yeah.
What used to be his balls?
Yeah. Where they
like,
were. Yeah.
I think that's visible to me.
The faint memory of his balls.
I truly don't know what I'm looking at there, and I don't look for more than half a second. To
no,
like,
come
huh.
on. Yeah. It's a passing glance. Rude.
And I time myself. Yeah. A little stopwatch saying half a second, that's great. That's all.
Treat myself to a little glance.
So, yeah. Okay. He's Garfield's nude. I did. There's a bit in an issue of Crime Hot I did that is literally all about Garfield's dick. So I have to say that because it's weird that we're talking about it without
right.
me saying it.
The real heads are listening and going and screaming. When's he gonna mention it?
Yeah, it's very very much like it's about. I'm gonna talk about it now. You got to deal with me talking about it. It's about content creators who do something big and silly once, and then everyone just expects the same thing out of them over and over again. So it's an artist at like a gallery in the future whose entire shtick is just cats with dicks. And oh my god, I forgot. One of the panels she's talking about, like, I've tried other things. Everyone loves the Garfield with the dick. I tried other cats with dicks. And I did draw a Heathcliff with a dick.
Whoa.
That is in the comic. I forgot that's extremely relevant to this.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely.
I'm gonna pull it up right here.
I would love to see it.
Because I think
and I'm timing myself as well to how long I get
only
to,
half
to
a
look
second.
At this Heathcliff.
I dick. Literally just opened up to it. There you go. It's
wow.
right there.
Wow.
There he is.
Wow, that is quite a hog.
Go ahead to crimehot.com and read Crime Hot 3, and that's the one with the Heathcliff dick.
Fantastic. Okay.
I feel like we really got to know our guests in this comic
yeah,
show.
Yeah, and we're loving it. Yeah, we have so much more comic content to go.
So let's look at this Sunday Heathcliff from March 31st. So Heathcliff is dressed in a baseball uniform, and there's also a walking hot dog, presumably a mascot. They're both walking into a baseball stadium. The crowd is cheering. Heathcliff is taking off his cap, and so is the hot dog, and they're waving to the crowd. The hot dog takes the pitcher's mound, and he pitches a hot dog straight at Heathcliff, who's batter's circle.
Sports place. One of the sports yeah. places.
He's at home plate. He's got his mouth wide open, and the hot dog is pitching a hot dog into Heathcliff's mouth, and someone in the background in the dugout is saying, "I love baseball season."
I mean, that's
so.
This one's perfect.
This is great.
This is one of the best Heathcliff comics I've seen.
It's really good. The image, there's been a character recently introduced called the Meat Cowboy, who is a big steak, big cartoon steak with a cowboy hat and arms and legs. And I feel like this hot dog pitcher is of the same maybe genus. You know, it's it's very adjacent to the Meat Cowboy.
But have we seen this hot dog pitcher before? Is this new?
I can't recall. I don't think we've seen him before. Now, Nick,
it's hard to say.
There is a little bit of lore here that I want to address. Our friend and past guest, Minda Way, writer, comedian who's been on the show, she years ago won a caption contest that Peter was running on the Heathcliff Instagram.
Oh, amazing.
Where he the comic was, it was Heathcliff at a baseball game, and he had a huge catcher's mitt. Like,
that's right.
I thought you were going to say huge dick.
He had a huge dick. He had a, just massive. No, he had a huge catcher's mitt, and the caption was blank, and the contest was come up with a caption for this. And Minda's caption was, "It's for the big hot dog." And
okay,
here we have the big hot dog.
Do you think that was the genesis of this hot dog character?
I'm not suggesting that necessarily. I'm just saying it. Peter it's Gallagher, possible. You it's were possible. Aware of the concept of a big hot dog.
So you think he stole?
I know, not certainly not.
He stole.
Parallel thinking.
The Heathcliff podcast meatcast officially is accusing you of stealing from your fans.
You stand accused.
J'accuse. Now, Kyle, do you think this is a giant anthropomorphic hot dog, or do you think it is a mascot?
It did not even cross my mind that it could be a guy in a suit. I read it as nothing other than it is a walking, talking hot dog, and that is what I'm choosing to leave it as.
I read it as mascot. Wow. I think it's okay. I hate to do this to you. I think it's a mascot.
Why would do this to me?
It's baseball. It's baseball shit, you know? That's what you have mascots at baseball places.
But where are the eye holes, Alec?
It's like one of those pieces of cloth you can see through. I don't know.
But
maybe
wait,
I'm wrong. Maybe it's a hot dog.
But wait.
Yeah.
Allow me to point out this detail.
Okay.
I'm gonna go into like Columbo mode. just one more thing here, Alec. If the hot dog is the mascot, then tell me, why is Heathcliff wearing a shirt that says the word mascot on it?
Okay.
Zoom in on that.
Oh, wow.
That says mascot.
So Heathcliff
is the mascot, you goddamn son of a bitch.
Or is he wearing a shirt he's a fan of the mascot?
Oh, that's possible too.
No,
Kyle?
No.
You look like a fool, Kyle.
No, I made it through April Fool's Day without getting fooled. And here I am the day after with egg all over my face.
Can I tell you my favorite thing about this?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
This strip particularly. The last panel, someone is saying, "I love baseball season," and it's just one of the other baseball players. Like, Heathcliff is the one getting fed a hot dog here. So the other baseball player is just like, "This is my favorite part of baseball."
This is perfect.
When the big hot dog comes out and throws a smaller real hot dog into the cat's mouth. That's baseball season, baby. That's baseball season to me. And he's one of the players, I think.
Yeah, he's definitely a player. He's in the dugout.
I love
yeah.
baseball season when he's playing baseball. Because he's playing, he says it because of this. That's my read.
Well, I mean, everybody here is also very happy. Like, the stadium loves this.
Crowd's
they're
wild.
Woohooing and clapping.
Wahooing. There's even a wahoo in there.
They're actually woohooing and clapping during the walk up. They're not clapping during the part where Heathcliff gets fed.
They're sitting in solemn reflection of this ancient ritual. And only
can I
this
tell you guys?
Baseball player is the one that's like in a silent stadium.
all quiet. They could hear the guy in the top, the nosebleed seats can hear this player saying, "I love baseball season."
I found a 3-year-old comic that will seem oddly familiar.
Oh, here we go.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
So this time it's a hot dog vendor throwing the ceremonial first hot dog into Heathcliff's mouth. Otherwise, mostly the same, and it condensed into a single panel.
This is better strip. This is. Do you think he remembered this when he made the new one?
Probably. This happens fairly often that there's a.
I know
the guy does a comic every day.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I have no qualms with him repeating an idea. I'm just wondering, do you think he consciously remembered this one, and thought, "I'll do a new spin on it"?
I think he probably said, I can do better.
Yeah, that's what
he didn't. He fucked up. This one's one panel, same joke. I love it.
Well,
again, Heathcliff is wearing a shirt that says mascot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different shirt, and it's on the back this time. But I think that lays it to rest. There's no mascot on this one. He's got to be the mascot.
And they're wearing different colors, so they're on opposing teams, presumably. The Sunday panel that we were looking at, they were sort of They were in the same uniform. Well, I guess, yeah, red and black kind of.
The colors match. Same hat. The hot dog and the shoes, those colors
match. They got the same hat.
Same too, hat, yeah. Same hat.
You're right. Yep, that really clinches it for me.
All right, well, let's move on to...
Wait, I hate to keep doing this. I have one more question.
Oh, yes, of course. Strip.
We love it. We love it.
Do they still do the thing with Sunday strips where the top row can function as its own... It's superfluous and function as its own comic. So, yes, that is what it says.
I don't know if it can function as its own comic, but I know that sometimes it gets left off and you only get the bottom.
Right. That's the idea. I think really the bare minimum is that it's superfluous. And then a lot of comics would also like add a joke to it or like a single lead up joke.
Wait, I'm not familiar with this lore. You two comics heads got to tell me.
This is a Sunday strip thing. It's like if you sometimes a newspaper can't run the entire size comic. So the top line with like the logo and a couple extra panels, whatever would fill that top line of panels, could get cut because instead of just having the printed logo, they could just write it in text above the panel and save some space.
Right.
So a lot of times like Calvin and Hobbes or Foxtrot or whoever would do an extra little line of dialogue that was barely funny, but a little bit extra that wouldn't interfere with the comic starting proper.
I did not know that.
And so I'm imagining that this one also functions that way, and the top comic is just Heathcliff walking, hot dog guy walking, and then that's the end of the comic.
It's a good comic.
It's a good comic.
Now that I think about it, the Sundays that they're often those top lines are often there's nothing in the background too. I feel it's fairly common. It's usually just the character that you're about to see in the actual comic, and then
sometimes it's one empty panel and one panel with Heathcliff peeking his little head in it.
Yeah,
like it's very, very little going on.
You don't want to spend too much time on shit that might get cut, you know?
No, yeah, for
that's
sure.
True, yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to April 1st. Heathcliff is hugging a refrigerator with hearts above his head, and in the background, his girlfriend Sonia is looking upset.
None too Grandma pleased. Nutmeg,
none too pleased. And Grandma Nutmeg is saying, "We'll always be second."
This one I get. And also, this one functions as is as a Garfield comic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one I
except,
get.
Just sub out Arlene for Arlene?
Arlene is the girl cat. Girlfriend. Yeah.
The sexy cat. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't say that. You did. And I agree with you, obviously.
Yeah, so he's fucking this refrigerator. is what's happening here, and both Grandma Nutmeg and Sonia are jealous.
Alec, we'd like to use the comics to get to know our guest. If you could,
I've heard.
Have you ever had sex with a refrigerator?
No.
I was going to ask if you could.
I have no qualms. Like I just don't know how. That's really
what,
the issue.
But what would you fuck inside that refrigerator? Is this a good topic to start discussing?
If I fuck something inside the refrigerator, I am not fucking the refrigerator by my definition.
No, definitely
not.
Definitely
for not. Sure. For
I
sure.
do have a friend who fucked a risograph printer.
A what?
Sorry.
You brought me here. You brought me to this line of conversation. There's those big, you ever heard of a risograph? You ever heard like a risograph printed zine or a risograph print?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, they're basically.
I'm looking it up. Risograph. Okay, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Xerox machine. What it is, it's like a fairly cheap printer where that can do a lot of colors. You have to put like color ink drums into it. Uses soy based ink. I used to have one of these machines, and it's like a very like big indie comics thing. They break down all the time, and there's like one guy in LA who could fix them, and I pissed him off, so he wouldn't fix it for me anymore.
Because
I bought ink. Not from him. He thought we had an exclusive arrangement, and I learned from him that he was really
sensitive,
offended by that.
Sensitive guy.
Yeah. He is very sweet. I don't want to badmouth him. But look, I fucked up. I bought the ink from the online website. Anyway, point being, my friend Carter Munir, another comics person, she does porn and a bunch of other like cool like sex art, and one of her videos was her fucking a risograph printer.
Well, that's so, that's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Another great content creator.
Somebody else I know. Yeah. Carta's the preeminent content creator of our times.
Now, is this a paid content creator? Because that's what Nick and I are primarily interested in, is people that get paid to create content.
You think you get to watch that video for free?
I don't know.
Are you crazy?
You're right. You're right.
I'm looking at the fruit on top of this refrigerator. It looks like an apple, maybe an orange, a lime.
I think that's a lime.
A couple of bananas.
What's that? What's that dark orange one over there, you think? What's going on?
That could be an orange, and maybe the other one's like a tangerine or a tan. Something.
Could be.
It's one of those red wheels of cheese. Uh-huh. To peel the plastic off of.
Alec, what is your favorite fruit? Is it apple? Is it lemon? Is it lime? Is it banana? Is it cheese?
It's cheese. It's out of those red, options, if we're counting cheese, it's
red wheels of cheese.
Apples, I think.
You can't but I have, eat like, an apple.
Eat fruit? For me, fruit is the way, like, you talked about tea. Like, if somebody asked me if I eat fruit, I say sure, but...
Don't make me answer on a podcast if I eat fruit.
Alec, do you eat fruits and vegetables? How's your diet?
I eat like shit. I don't think I've had a fruit proper in a few years now. No, that's not true. But I don't eat well. Thanks.
Hell yeah, dude. No, same. Let's just own it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have a fruit bowl sitting on my counter, and it's been empty for the last.
So you have a bowl sitting on your counter.
Yeah. You can get fake fruit, put it in there, really impress people.
Maybe yeah, you should do that. Yeah,
I don't know. Can you? I mean, what would you think of a person like our age? You know, if you like came to their apartment and they had a bowl of like real estate fruit on their kitchen counter.
I was just thinking, like, at what point in my life would I think I need to buy fake fruit? What would lead me there? Is it just an age thing? When I'm like 50, will I just get that urge?
Now, look, I say this, I realize as I said that I have a fake, I play plants in the house.
I was going to ask, do you do? Okay.
I do, because one, I'm not bad at keeping them alive, and two, my cat, you know, who knows, I can't keep track of what's gonna make him sick or whatever, so just get the fake ones, who cares?
That's smart. I have fake plants too, and I stole them all from the set of a TV show that I worked on. I don't remember which one. I just remember that they were there.
Yeah, you remember. Tell us off, Mike. You remember.
I truly don't. Also, I stole shit from a bunch of shows. I got an office chair from Comedy Bang Bang. I got.
Wow.
I have the. It's right in that closet. I have the big bus ad from Nathan For You from the episode of The Ghost Realtor.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Just, it's just that's like great. There. I don't know what to do with it. I'm not going to throw it out.
Yeah, you cannot get rid of that.
Just in a closet.
You just have to.
I posted it online once and I forgot that there was a phone number on there. And it's, turns out production didn't. I guess because it was a prank in quotes, it had to be a real phone number. So I ruined that woman's day. I feel so bad. I like had to delete the post and apologize. My God. Sorry for the detour, but yeah.
Oh, no,
I don't fuck fridges. Thanks for asking.
Okay, yes. Great.
We loved perfect. That. We loved getting to know you through that question.
All right, let's move on to April 2nd. So Heathcliff and Jimmy the Frog are walking down the sidewalk. Heathcliff got a big grin on his face. He's wearing a helmet that says Hail. Jimmy's wearing a helmet that says Hardy. And there are a couple birds on the wire, and one of the birds is saying, is it me, or do they look good?
I'm out. Wow, you I'm put so out.
Nick put a little extra mustard on that line read to make it sound like that bird.
I think
really
that was in the text. That came right out of
the I did not read it that way, but...
you think the way you read it, it made it feel like the bird was going to make a move.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was reading it more like it's like when you see like a friend that's like maybe like lost a little bit of weight or something or put on a little muscle or whatever. And
yeah.
You're like, is it me or do they look good? You know?
So now, like you said you were out. Are you familiar with the term Hale and Hardy?
No, I have no. What are we talking about here?
Hale and Hardy just means like healthy looking,
I guess. Nick, were we not just talking about this the other night? Were you in that conversation when we were, Nick and I were out the other night and I was having this conversation with another person at that table about the phrase
really?
Hale and Hardy.
Had you seen this strip or was
I
it
had this
unrelated?
Was before this strip even came out.
That's crazy that this phrase I've never heard of has come up twice for
it,
you.
It was like, what was this, Friday night? So it was not even I wasn't even aware that it was
Hale like, and Hardy.
Yeah.
I can read you the definition here. It says, especially of old people, healthy and strong. in the sentence, her grandfather was hale and hearty, walking 5 miles each day before breakfast.
Okay, you know, this is going to help me. I actually don't have this context. How old is Peter Gallagher?
He's maybe...
We don't know for sure.
40, 50?
I would say probably in his 50s.
Okay.
Late 40s, maybe.
I hope, I mean...
That's about what
I expect. Peter, we're sorry if we're not...
That guy's 22. Young and spry. I have never heard this phrase. So basically this comic is just, they're wearing two helmets and they say like healthy and healthy, they might as well be saying. Okay. And then, so it's like.
Vim and vinegar, maybe.
Vim and vinegar is great. Never heard of those two things
is
either.
Is it vim and vinegar? Or, I think it's vim and vigor.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It absolutely is. I just got April Fool's by the best of them.
Vim and vinegar sounds like a comic strip character.
Salt and vinegar is like, what you're thinking.
Be like it from the 20s. Like yeah. It's like the Adventures of Vim and Vinegar.
Honestly, kind of sounds like a webcomic from like 2003.
It sounds like something one of the like Polly Walnuts would say in Sopranos. Like, Tony, you're looking good. You're full of Vim and Vinegar. Yeah.
He did say that. That's actually, I think he did say
oh,
that.
Shit.
Yeah.
I've only ever heard. Oh, sorry, Alec. Go ahead.
Trust me, it's not fun.
No.
Not interesting. This,
no, I love it.
I'm basically asking if we think they. This comic breaks me. Is it like they think that that they look good because of the helmets or because of what's written on the helmets?
Well,
or like the helmets don't need to be there. It's just because are they seeing the words hale and hearty and they're thinking, oh, is that why I think they look good? They're not processing it consciously. They're just going, they look good. Right. Not realizing they're reading two words that are basically saying good and good.
It's a great question.
Subliminal message. Yeah.
Yeah, I think in the history of helmets in Heathcliff is like the helmet sort of betrays or shows to the world a thing that you feel internally, you know? So for instance, last week Heathcliff was at the doctor and he had on a helmet that said the word listless on it.
That's a very interesting mechanic. That's cool. It's like a sci-fi thing almost.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'd never considered that the helmet is the only way to know that information, you know?
Like, are these magical helmets or are they buying them when they feel a certain way?
I think they're buying them, maybe crafting them.
I'd always assume that Heathcliff's just making them.
He's got a stockade of pink helmets and he's writing different things on them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. But it's a question like
Judah Friedlander.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe I'd never made that connection before, but yes, it's exactly like Judah Friedlander.
But it is an interesting question whether they put on these helmets because they actually are feeling hale and hearty or whether they just wanted to trick people into thinking that they were hale and hearty.
These are deep comics. But there's other strips with way more panels and way more comedic structure that you stare at them and you get nothing like this out of it.
Yeah,
the longer I look at a Heathcliff comic, the more I feel like I'm getting something.
Listen to all this content we're able to generate out of
and it's not hollow content. This has substance.
I've always with the helmets, I've sort of felt like Heathcliff makes them as a way of like acting out, right? Like when he makes the listless helmet we talked about, it's like he's trying to communicate. He can't say that he's listless, but he wants the people around him to know I'm feeling listless, you know. Look at the helmet.
I see.
You know, I'll tell you.
And in this one he's kind of acting out by like bragging about how good he feels.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think so. That's
and he's got smaller helmets for his frog friend Jimmy.
Yes.
Yes.
Or not even really that much smaller. Just they're.
It's not much smaller, but it is smaller.
It is smaller.
I wouldn't fit on Heathcliff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is unfortunate that the smaller helmet had to take on the bigger harder word.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a bad move, Heathcliff.
I'd only ever heard the phrase "hale and hearty." This was the conversation. I said I'd only ever heard it used in context of like describing a soup. Like,
yeah, well,
like
it is
something with like a lot of barley in it. You would
it
describe
is the name
as
of a,
Hale and Hearty.
Of a soup chain restaurant in New York City.
Well, there you go.
Hale and Hearty. If you go to New York City, at least back when I lived there were Hale and Hearties on like every corner, it seemed like.
Okay. All right. I believe you. You don't have to sell it so hard.
Yes, Nick, stop yelling.
This is Tony Hale and Ed Hardy hanging out. That's what this could be.
Oh, can
that's my last. That's my last riff on the Hale and Hardy comic. R.I.P.
Yeah, Hale and Hardy, of course, a comedy team after Laurel died.
Right.
I almost went there. I did. Right. I want you to know that was in my head.
Okay. All right, we got one more comic for today.
Jesus
or for
Christ.
Yesterday.
Yes, dude. Yes.
Jesus. So
All timer.
Wednesday, April 3rd. So Grandpa, Nutmeg, and Heathcliff are staring at a billboard, and the billboard has a picture of Heathcliff's face on it. And Heathcliff in the billboard, Heathcliff has a big grin on his face, sort of looking kind of smug. And Heathcliff on the ground, looking at it, he also has sort of a smug look on his face. But the billboard says, above Heathcliff's head, it says in. Below it says heat. So it's in heat by Heathcliff. And then Grandpa Nutmeg is saying, how's your new cologne doing?
Guys.
My jaw's on the floor.
I mean.
First of all, we were just talking about cologne.
We
were just talking
about cologne. That's
right. Second of all, this is explicit. This is the most scandalous comic strip I've ever seen.
This is far, far hornier than anything you've ever drawn, Alex.
So much worse. You can't put this in a newspaper. I don't know how he got away with this. I would wear this on a shirt. The billboard. just Heathcliff's big Mr. Boop grin with in heat on a white tee. Walking around.
Remove the by Heathcliff.
Yeah, I don't want the by Heathcliff.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't need to be in there.
I want it to read as, I am in heat, and I feel like Heathcliff about it.
Much like Heathcliff wearing his helmets, you are donning an in heat shirt to let people know that you are open for business.
Give me a helmet, too. I need to really get this across.
But when the phrase in heat, it's not about men, right?
I have only really heard it in terms of female cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's that. It works for the clone, I think. Like, I'm going to defend Heathcliff's choice here to call it in heat. I think sometimes a cologne can describe what it would make someone else feel.
Yeah, right. That's true. For sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no evidence to back that up or examples, but I just feel that.
I mean, CK1.
I was going to say, when I smell CK1, cool gets me feeling like CK1.
Those are the two I remember.
White diamonds. That's a perfume, I guess.
But this is a good one.
I mean,
do we have anything else to say about this?
Saying this is a good one is an understatement.
This is fantastic.
This is so good.
Yeah. How's your new cologne doing? Which implies that he had an old cologne.
I think that drawing, yeah, first of all, you're right. Yes.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you for acknowledging that I was right.
You're right. And I love the drawing of Heathcliff. I think that's the best drawing Peter Gallagher has ever done. And I'm not just biased because I like a big toothy grin and I draw that all the time. I think this is a great face.
I like that we get two. I like that we get the big toothy grin and the little Heathcliff Mussolini stance, smug, no tooth grin.
They're different. If they were the same, that would almost take away from the
joke.
Yeah. You don't want the hot fuzz Timothy Dalton like smiling with his picture of the same photo behind him. You want a little more texture here because in that hot fuzz example, that's the whole bit. And that's going to drag a lot of attention away from the in heat sign and the cologne concept. No, put the focus on the billboard itself. That's the bigger, toothier grin.
Yeah.
The other one's just there as texture. This is a beautiful comic.
Okay. I also love that it by Heathcliff is how they're advertising it, which means that everyone in this like city is like, they all know Heathcliff and that carries weight. You know, they're like, oh, it's the new Heathcliff cologne. I have to check it out.
I believe that, but I also can see the version where nobody knows who he is and he's just so confident.
Yeah, that is probably the more likely explanation in universe.
Also, Heathcliff starts with the word heat, I'm realizing.
Yeah.
Wow, true.
I don't know what that adds or doesn't add to this, but certainly something.
It's worth noting.
It's worth noting, that's for sure.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on to our The finales of the finale of March Meatness. So Kyle, you've seen the results of the poll, right?
I have seen the results of the poll. Alec, for your benefit, we're running a contest throughout the month of March, similar to the March Madness basketball tournament. Our listeners are voting on their favorite Heathcliff, non-Heathcliff Heathcliff characters, and it's all come down to this, the final, the championship round.
Oh, I'm here for the big reveal.
You're here for the big reveal. Yeah, you're here for the big finale.
What do they call the last two and in the NCAA tournament? Is there a word for it?
Well, there's the final four. I know there's like the Elite Eight, the Final Four. I don't think there's one for the terrible twos. I think they
the terrible twos. I think that's what it is.
These two behemoths beating the terrible twos.
By the way, I don't even have to ask or look.
Well, we'll tell you what the final two is: Jimmy versus the Garbage Ape.
Okay, I know who won.
And you know those two.
There's
characters.
There's no way it's Jimmy. I'm sorry, dude. Right? I'm throwing my. Can I bet on this? How much are you gonna bet? I'll bet $1,000.
Okay, well, you're on. I'll take that bet.
Why would you?
I'll tell you why. Don't you know? The results are in. Garbage Ape has won handily. 1,304 votes cast. We love that engagement. We love that engagement with our content. Garbage Ape has won. The old school Heathcliff fans came out in full force. They cast their vote against Jimmy, the beloved frog. Congratulations to Garbage Ape. Sorry, Jimmy, you will be executed by firing squad.
So Garbage Ape takes it 65.5% to 34.5%. But Kyle,
you owe me $1,000.
Yeah. Why would you have taken that?
I don't understand what you just did there. You knew.
Wait, no, you bet Jimmy won.
No, I didn't. Absolutely not.
He said Jimmy, there's no way Jimmy would win.
Okay. Well,
I'm not letting this go, man. I was binding.
Fuck, guys, please. I absolutely cannot. Don't make me pay up, please.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Right. We don't get paid for this content, Alec.
we don't get any money from this. We don't even have a barely updated Patreon where people can give us like $2 a month just because they feel sorry
for
us.
We should do that, though.
We should do that, and for the first month, they should give it all to me. And then continue to do that until
true.
I get my $1,000.
Until you get until the debt is settled.
Yeah, yeah. After that, it's all you.
And we'll sell it that way. We'll use your likeness and all of your content. We'll create our own Patreon.
You just post all my comics.
Yeah, this is going to Alec. Trust us. But then after $1,000, we just take it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we have a deal.
Yep. Congratulations, so Alec, Garbage Ape.
Yeah.
You are familiar with the Garbage Ape, I take it.
Of course I am. What am I, crazy? What am I, a loser?
You're certainly none of those things.
Of course not. I know the Garbage Ape.
But just for the sake of...
He deserved this win, for sure.
Just for the sake of anyone on this call who doesn't know who the Garbage Ape is.
No, don't explain who the Garbage Ape is. Everyone knows. This is common knowledge. It's like knowing what hard and hail means. Hail and hearty.
Hail
whatever.
And hearty.
Well, I wanted to show this comic edit that Heathcliff Plus Helms made about the results of the poll. It's similar to the comic strip we saw earlier with Heathcliff hugging the refrigerator, except now he's hugging the Garbage Ape, and Jimmy and Grandma Nutmeg are watching, and Grandma is saying, "We'll always be second to the Garbage Ape," because it's true.
Wow, it is true.
Garbage Ape takes
Jimmy did get second. That's literally true. In that sense. Not for Grandma Nutmeg.
Yeah, I don't know what Grandma Nutmeg thinks she's doing, like getting, like lumping. Jimmy's like, "You're not with me," you know.
What
like,
did she place? Do you have her ranking?
Did we?
We did not rank her. Yeah. She did not.
Not even good enough to get on the poll. I get it.
I will say we went for some of the more esoteric characters in the poll. Actually, the poll was organized by Heathcliff Plus Helms himself. He was the one who came up with all the characters. But I did find the bracket that was closest to winning And the bracket was named You Rascal dot dot dot. They got 13 out of 15 picks right for a score of 30, and they were the clear winner of the bracket contest.
Wow. Well, congratulations to You Rascal. You've won something. Nick and I aren't sure what the prize is, but You Rascal, email us.
$1,000.
Yeah, I take 1,000 and then you take the other 1,000.
It's 1,000 of my dollars.
1,000 each, yeah.
I'm ruined.
Send us an email at Heathcliff. Wow, $2,000 and you're ruined.
That's normal. That's normal.
Send us an email at heathcliffrecap@gmail.com, you rascal, dot, 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 and we'll figure something out. That is if you're listening to this. If you're not listening to this, I can pay to get your email. if I pay for a challenge premium, then I can see everyone's email. So I might have to do that.
Well, that's like extra $20. Just toss that in, Kyle. That's
man. That's on me. I'm really getting boned here. On me through here. Kyle. Just keeps adding up. I will say
the only misses they had were in the first round matchup, they chose Chauncey over the Blob, and they chose Spike over the Hype Slug.
Wow.
So they got those two wrong. They got every other pick correct.
Fucking moron. How could you make a mistake like that twice?
Yeah, pretty embarrassing, frankly. I think I shouldn't have to give them $1,000 now.
Yeah, you're off the hook as far as I'm concerned. They should give you $1,000 for a fuck up this big.
Wow, that's a really good point. Thank you for saying that, Alec.
No problem. Anything else you want me to say?
Somebody who posted this, Forrest Lastman posted this in one of the Heathcliff Discord. I wanted to look at some fun Garbage Ape comics throughout the years, and I really like this one. Where it's Heathcliff at a therapist's office. He's lying down in classic therapist opposition, and the therapist is saying, "Time is up. My 3 o'clock is here." And in the doorway is the Garbage Ape carrying a single can of garbage.
Genuine laugh out of me. That's a funny comic.
Doing sort of the Bigfoot, a little bit of the Bigfoot walk.
The drawing of the Garbage Ape is what really pushes it over the edge for me. And then he's carrying a trash can to his therapy appointment.
Well, it's his emotional support trash can.
Right. No, I mean, that's not for us to say. That's for the therapist to decide.
But. Oh, yeah. I don't mean to diagnose outside of the office.
I'll throw just a couple more Garbage Ape comics before we go. This is Garbage Ape and Stein is the caption, and it's a green garbage ape walking down the street with his garbage cans, and cats are cheering.
Someone saying Garbage Ape and Stein, or is that just
the owl Garbage Ape and Stein.
And then I think I had one more pulled up here. This one is a fairly recent one. We got to reset the music. Here we go. It's sort of a Garbage Ape statue that Heathcliff and several other cats are worshiping in robes, and one of the owls is saying, "The Garbage Ape makes me nervous."
So. This is scary. Has anyone figured out what that song they're singing is? Because there's music notes.
I bet someone did.
I think we talked about this one on the show, and normally when there's music notes, because this happens a lot, I ask someone to write in and tell us what the music is. But I don't remember what the answer was.
The Cruel Angel's Thesis opening of Ava.
it's the song that they're singing at the end of The Wicker Man.
It's the theme to Kingdom Hearts.
But of course, The Garbage Ape, The Stuff That Dreams Are Made Of, a classic comic strip. And that's how we got to end this March Meatness tournament.
Beautiful.
What a run.
It truly is The Stuff Dreams Are Made Of. Garbage Ape, you did it. Congratulations.
Great work, Garbage Ape.
We'll see you in the tourney next year to defend your title.
Again?
Yeah, you just have to keep going. Hughes character of the year.
Paul. Nick, did you see the engagement on the content?
Now imagine every single one of those views was $1,000. Then you wouldn't be so worried, Kyle. Then you'd have a lot more money.
Then I'd be sitting pretty.
Let's monetize this pull somehow. Is that possible on X yet? Has Have they figured that
out? Mr. Beast has figured it out, but...
You reply under each poll and you say, send me $1,000.
We put our home address.
I look at the list of voters and I DM every one of them.
Well, Alec, thank you so much for joining us. What a great time. We learned so much about you. And we...
Hell yeah,
you
did.
And we celebrated the Garbage Ape. So Mr. Boop and... Crime Hot?
That's right. You nailed it.
I haven't read that one yet. I need to get into that.
It is, I will warn you, it is almost just pornography. That said, it's damn good.
It's terrific pornography, almost pornography. I've read the first couple. It's great.
Thank you. Okay. And thank you for having me. This really was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It was a blast. We had a great time.
Alec? I think I said Alex.
I know you at the last, just as I was saying, this was a good time and a pleasant experience. You had to go ahead and say the wrong name. And I will not forget that. That's gonna be with me until the day I get lowered into that big fat grave. You son of a bitch. I want $1,000 from you now too.
Okay, fine. Okay. I have one more $1,000 before I'm ruined.
So. Yeah, you're not grousing about it like Kyle is. Thank you.
Yeah, Nick can afford it. He's got that bowl of
fruit. I'm coming out of this fucking good. Man. I got like at least 2 G's coming my way. I wish podcast was like this. Sorry, go ahead and end the show.
Well, until next time, that bothers me.